Hey everybody, my name's Joel and I'm here to talk to you about astrology. I love the truth movement. Is Obama a genetically cloned Egyptian mummy? Does Rockefeller have a James Bond villain type earthquake weather machine? Is the Queen an ancient immortal vampire lizard beast from outer space? Or are they all just Hollywood actors in disguise? There's a lot of mumblings and babbles from once was the Piscean era. Now it's time to make sense of it. Bring order out of chaos. And then to see the Maya as what it really is, Babylon the Great. This is not a thing about strength, it's a thing about clarity. Now, who taught us astrology? We look back at what the Bible says, and the Bible says it's 10,000 years ago, the Babylonian times, before the flood. In the Book of Enoch, they say of the mighty men teaching civilization. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they believe that the fish men taught them civilization. So these fish men have put in consideration, aeons. Astrologers, there's many levels of details when studying the subject, using the science. One of the slowest moving effects the cosmos inflicts upon us are the aeons. They're split up into 12. Each zodiac has one. They reign for 2,000 years. So 10,000 years ago was the aeon of Virgo. Then it turned to Leo, then it turned to Cancer. And now we're at the end of Piscean era. The only way I can explain the aeons is by an analogy of computer games. If anyone is comfortable with Super Mario, if anyone's ever played that, the original game anyway, platform game where you're going around in a wonder world, you can't move back, you can only go forward, and you've got the controller, you're pressing buttons, you go collecting coins, collecting flowers and mushrooms, and it's treacherous. You go over loads of terrain and there's little turtles, flying turtles too, that you jump on. And you go up and up the levels, and the levels only get harder. And the different scenery, every stage has a different scenery set. And then right at the end, Super Mario goes through all these levels. All these different wonderlands with all their treachery, and he keeps on collecting his coins. And at every level at the end, you've got a boss, and he beats the boss. And right at the end of the game, you're against the evil lizard king Bowser to save a princess Toadstool. She represents the sacred feminine. In any ancient philosophy, they have the trinity of, in any situation, you're either going to be the victim, or you're going to be the villain, or you're going to be the hero. Still applies in modern day, but it gets a bit tricky putting in consideration what Pisces is. We've been in the Piscean era for 2,000 years. It helped me explain what Pisces are. If you know any Pisceans, that'd give you a bit of a head start. But yeah, dreamy, poetic Pisces. They are the dream state. They're very mystical. Being a water sign, they'll be very empathic, very compassionate, and selfless, a lot more selfless than the other water planets, and because the other planet, the other water signs, they have shells, like the Cancer and the Scorpion, they have shells. Pisces being the most mature water sign, it's taken off its shell, and the fish, they're totally open, they're very sensitive. Very lateral. How the fish, their eyes can see 360. Very, I'd say very spiritual, like, even if they don't know it, like Pisces would just be happy with one and all with everything. They are everything. They've got this, I think it's because they're a water sign, have that, like, universal conscience. That's where the empathy comes from, because they can feel everything. They're very tonal. It's not what you say, it's how you say it to them. I can't handle, if it's a three-way conversation, there's two Pisceans. I fall asleep. Like, when I hear two Pisceans talk, I get really sleepy. They're really compassionate, poetic, mystical kind of people, but they're also very chaotic, or can be. Very introverted, making submissive. They got a really good sense of humour, like really surreal. Well, that comes with a lateral mind, just making really quirky comments and really cool insights. You know, poets. The planets that rule Pisces, Neptune, is the connection to higher planes, like the imagination, and it's the channel from the two worlds, the dream spirit world or whatever, and the physical. But when, you know, me speaking right now, I don't know where my thought and my words are coming from. It's still just channeling. Like, so it's where we get a lot of creative energy. It's the how we a lot of music, art, you know, it's the imagination, what the imagination can manifest, and the imagination can be very fantastical, you know. It can get to beautiful, you know, spiritual paradoxical heights of, you know, following your highest virtue and being, or you can be twisted and turned into like the glamour and delusion and illusion and what imagination can manifest. It can manifest anything that you put your focus into. Now the house that Pisces rule is the 12th house. This rules under certain things: dogma, institutes, prisons, secrets, self-undoings, and hidden enemies. Oh, and yeah, it's an astrological joke that all Pisceans, they're alcoholics. It's because they're so sensitive, it's how they suppress their sensitivity to, you know, deal with. They can take drugs. They can take a lot of drugs. I think a lot of water signs do have a real talent for that, for some reason. But yeah, that is with Neptunian escapism. I mean, this is all trying to give you an idea of what flavor or whatever Pisces is, and applying it to the last 2,000 years of our history. I mean, I'm going to start from 0 AD, when Jesus came out, and, you know, everyone's got little fish. You know, Zeitgeist did explain a lot of the Zeitgeist. It did just come out of nowhere, and it did declare the Zeitgeist, as in, you know, it was self-proclaiming this day and age to be, you know, it's like the Da Vinci Code in the mainstream. And yeah, there's a thing of mystery that there's a thing of mystery. They want you to get involved with a, you know, like a Scooby-Doo mystery tour. And you know what, like, I don't think anyone knew that they were in the age of Pisces, but that's the irony of it, because, you know, Pisces by nature are pretty dreamy and forgetful. I mean, it's to make sense of all this Pisces illusion to get out of the Aeon itself. And I can see in recent history anyway, the technological boom, that's very Aquarian. I mean, if anyone knows the trends or whatever, I mean, it was JP Morgan, the business economist, said millionaires don't use astrologers, billionaires do. So astrologers can see the up-and-coming trends coming along and, yeah, play the stock market. So, yeah, the Aquarian kind of gist, a vibe of the whole thing, like, Aquarians are all about modernization and, you know, technology. They're all about advancements. You know, going into the Aquarian Age, like coming out of this pessimistic, like submissive, enslaved Piscean energy. You know, if I'm going to apply it to that video game analogy, the Piscean era was the toughest level of all. And now we, it's controversial bringing up the Aquarian Age, only because the people that are talking about it recently, of recent times, have been the elite themselves, because they know astrology and they know what's coming, and they, you know, the Theosophy Society talked about it, David Icke did it in his first few books that are out of print now, like True Vibrations and some of the stuff. But you know, the people that are promoting the Aquarian Age and the they're the elites. They know that this is a natural process, but they want to sway it in their direction, into their agenda. The future is not decided. We all can have our say. Yeah, with the Piscean era, yeah, so from the start of 0 AD, it wasn't too long until Roman Empire changed their tune and turned Christian. That's the dogma that we've had for 2,000 years, the Catholic Church. When it comes to information throughout this time span of 2,000 years, they called the Middle Ages for a reason, or the medieval, like the middle of the evil, or the, it was dark times because there was no information. It was just so well kept by the royals. And the etymology of the word royal comes from real, like the royalty will dictate to you reality. If you don't go along with them, you're in trouble, you know, like Galileo and everyone, you know, they're dictating reality to us. With what we've gone through modern day, to modern day, I mean, we have had a history of secrecy only because of us being victims of war and military strategy. It's best to have secrets.
Hey, Joel, can I join in with you, mate?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, okay. You've been covering, like, the early Pisces, going towards the Aquarian stuff. Now, if you look at it, I'm a Libra. What does it say about Libra?
What about Libra?
I don't know, I'm not good at astrology, so I'm asking you. Anything you want, right? What is it? What has it got? Like, is it an air one? Is it water? Or?
Oh, Libra?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, air.
What is the air thing? What's it about? I mean, I know nothing, mate. It's nothing.
It's the only sign that's not a being. It's an item. So, you know, the scales. The Babylons called it the heavenly gift. I really like the Babylons used to have Libra at the beginning of the year. We started at the fall. But I really like Librans.
It's kind of weird if you get two in the room at the same time for me.
They're idealists, and that's where it comes with it being an item. You're not a being, you're not like a living thing. You're a creation of a thought, you're scales. So you're like a concept, if you know what I mean. You're air, but you're so air that you're not even a living being. You're a creation of a thought, which is the scales. But because the sun exalts in Aries, and it does the opposite in the opposite sign. The opposite sign is Libra. The sun is in its full in Libra, and that gives you like a detachment from your ego in a funny way. Because you're not a being, you can see things from a detached point of view. And that's why Librans make really good sound judges, because they have that detached foresight. But the real intellectuals, especially the women, but I mean, I say that, but the Librans are quite androgynous, is that the word? Like both sexes, both really balanced. Like a lot of the men would have like a higher sounding voice and lighter eyebrows and just, you know, very Venetian. Like they contain like, you know, the women are balanced in testosterone and estrogen as much as the men. But that also, like, because I think that comes from the detached nature and how, you know, to be judged, you have to be the she-man, the she-man, the guy that is, or the woman that is, you know, both, like, in alchemy, you have the alchemical marriage where you know, the two are working in harmony.
Yeah, I'll get you on that one. I got married and it wasn't about that. Yeah.
With Librans, always you get like strangers coming up to you and just, you know, they'll just blow their beans, like they'll tell you everything. Like, I've heard Librans attract people and people are really honest to them because of their eyebrows. And Librans are too polite to tell them to fuck off.
It's fascinating, too. I mean, the star sign, like, sort of, like, you know, it's got a colour eyebrow. Brilliant. Is there anybody else? Like, Sadama, what are you, mate?
I'm Aquarius. I'm one of them Aquarius peoples that are confused because we're supposed to be an air sign, but we're carrying water or something, so I'm not sure.
I think you carry the water to wash away the Piscean stagnation. You're an air sign, and everyone thinks it's water, but it's air. But I think that's just the whole Aquarian nature, like, they're really eccentric. Because they are all about revolution, they're all about, you know, modernization. So yeah, they're always rebelling, or like changing the status quo, or, you know.
When did the age of Aquarius actually start?
A lot of people differ. A lot of people say different dates, but with any cusp, it's a bit of a merge between the two. Like, it's like colour spectrum. If you have two different colours merging, it's a haze. So you're not too sure when and where, but I'd just say 2000.
Okay, so we're getting like a cuspal time now then, is it? Where it's just changing over?
It is a cuspy time, but it's what's happening in the world right now. It's just quite, I think it's the end of an era.
Or the beginning of another.
Yeah, yeah. Only just by what the Catholics are doing. The Universal Church.
You said before, Zeitgeist. I think that means like spirit of the age, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like spirit of the Piscean age or the Aquarian age. Now, I have had thoughts of like before. Now, say if you're like an Aquarian, let's say we're in the Aquarian age. Yeah. Now, I've been wondering if like sort of like Aquarians resonate with the spirit of the age at the moment. Now, me being Libra, I'm thinking, well, what year will it be and the spirit of the age is Libra. And what's going to be going on in at that time? And I know it's a few thousand years from now, but am I aligned to that?
That's when they say the cycle is complete, when it gets to Libra. Complete to, oh, crumbs, I forgot what they call it, like a galactic year or whatever, when you have a full circle of aeons. Because it's like the Babylonians said it started in Libra. Well, yeah, it ends there too. I mean, it's only going by hearsay. I mean, it is the future and stuff, but I've heard it's Brill. But I'm, yeah.
I asked my mum, like, as other people doing, excuse me, I forget the words, not quite right, like star charts and stuff like that. A few people have said, right, what time you were born? I'm like, I don't know. It's not on my birth certificate. It doesn't appear on my birth certificate. Apparently, the modern ones equals. Apparently, I'll go to the hospital and get it. So I thought, I'll ask me mum. Yeah? So, mum, what time was I born? She replied, I can't remember. I was busy at the time. So I don't know what time I was born. So is there any way of having a look at stuff like that if you don't know what time you was born?
Robo, there is a way. There's a way that worked out for me because my mum just shows how much she loves me. She's forgotten entirely what time of day I was born. And so I spoke to an astrologer and he pointed out that there's this little asteroid called Chiron or Chiron. And Chiron, there are 12 different positions that it can be in, because the sphere's divided up into 12. And so you can have a look for the day that you were born at the different descriptions of the effects that Chiron has. And if you're like, if you're like me, you'll see that most of those descriptions don't apply to you or your life at all. But you find that one stands out and describes you very accurately. So if you have a look at that one and then see what position Chiron would have been in at that time,
or what time it was,
then you can just rotate your whole chart until Chiron is in the right place, and you'll find that puts your ascendant and everything else in the right place as well.
That sounds really cool. That's like sort of like working out what an equation is and juggling the numbers around. That's cool.
Reverse engineering.
There's a very clever guy who pointed it out to me, and he pointed out and he said, well, you might just try this. Does that make sense to you, Joel?
I'm not going to lie to you. I've never heard of it.
Oh, really? It's another one of these things that you certainly see on birth charts.
Yeah. Oh, better look into it. Yeah. What are you, Pranja?
Capricorn.
Has to get to the top of his little mound, don't you, babe? Goat.
Goats are all right until you get two of them on top of the mound, and then you get a bit of a problem.
And you get a stack of goats.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were in Hereford last year sometime, or the year before, actually, everyone, nearly everyone there was a flipping Capricorn and all wanting to be on top and, in charge of whichever aspect of the whole thing it was. Madness. But I think we're digressing, aren't we, away from Joel's show? Sorry, Joel.
Take it you're an Aries, Joel.
Yes.
My son's an Aries. What can you tell me besides being stubborn?
At the moment, there's a lot of planets in Aries. Like, I'd watch out for Aries if I were you. At the moment, anyway, I think everyone would be a bit more assertive than normal. Because there's, four planets in Aries, and that's quite a few. Especially Mars and the Sun. There's just going to be a bit more testosterone. When Mars is in Aries, the old astrologers, they'd just say, that means war. I mean, not saying that it's a bad thing, assertiveness. It gives you a lot of, explosives. Using the Aries energy, you can, carry on your your own personal revolution, and, you know, it will change your world. There ain't no coming back. I mean, it gives you the gusto that you want, you know, to pursue with whatever you personally going to go for in life. But as a whole, yeah, it went into Aries, and I was like, that's going to be a bit feisty. Kim Jong-un, he's come out and gone like, oh, I'm going to bomb America. And it's like, oh, guess that's it. Guess that's the Mars and Aries thing. But it hasn't finished yet. We've got like another good month of planets and Aries. And, well, we can all just watch and see what the papers say, I guess.
Can I just say, you worded that very well, Joe, as I'm Aries as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a predominant sign that any of the world leaders, I mean, I don't know how many world leaders there is, but is there a group of, like, I don't know, one sign, a majority of those, obviously, pretty much spread out?
I'd say Scorpio and Capricorn.
So it's not like that narrowed down to like two signs.
They use it a lot in their symbolism, but with Masons and stuff, like, it is a pyramid scheme, and like we were talking about Capricorns earlier. Yeah, they do pretty well in a pyramid scheme, or any corporation. You know, they're good workers. They're really good workers, and they climb the ladder. So, yeah, Capricorns would do best in Masons and Scorpions because they're really competitive, and, yeah, just kind of suit that. I've noticed lots of politicians with, like, Scorpio, Capricorn, Libra. Quite a lot of them are Libra, like Margaret Thatcher and David Cameron.
I don't like that.
Robo, I'm also a Libra, and I don't like that either.
But she's also she's got a little bit of Scorpio in her as well, and I keep saying that she's got the best of Libra and the best of Scorpio. Really,
I was actually born on the cusp of Libra and Scorpio, but a couple of hours inside Libra.
My best mate at school, he was born on the cusp as well. She spent loads of time with him and stuff and like that. So, like, on the cusp of Scorpio, Libra thing, it's okay.
Same course. Wow.
Yeah.
I've never met anybody else.
I really like Scorpios and Capricorns.
Scorpios, while they're your friends, they're fabulous friends. But if you ever make enemies with a Scorpio, you're in dire trouble. And making friends with them again after that is almost impossible, I think.
Yeah, it is. Well, they can do that to themselves. You know, they can... Like, Scorpios can be really destructive and, you know, feed... Like, they get off with, like, sadism.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I was in a house with three Scorpios in it.
The actual truth behind Robo-Whippy is his true sign is Pyrex, because we all know that he was actually cloned in a dish by Vosto.
So, Joel... One thing I've read about Libra is that it's a cardinal sign, but I'm never actually sure what that means. I don't suppose you've got a clue, have you? What cardinal?
Yeah, is. You got three of them. You got cardinal, mutable, and fixed. And cardinal just means go in one direction. Fixed means standing still. Immutable is going in opposite directions. So it's a bit abstract, but I mean, like, astrology, you know, the planets are so far away, it's hard to get your head around them, but it's like a lateral, literal thing, like trying to make the abstract literal concepts with, kind of making this energetic, abstract, sort of metaphysics, sort of invisible world, and how it kind of filters into your physical brain and you explaining and translating the abstract.
I was about to suggest, is it kind of like a metaphor? And then you said metaphysical. So, yeah, it's metaphorical in a way then, yeah?
Cardinal just means that they have to be constantly going forward. Fixed is just really stubborn. Like they're bloody, they're really grounded. There's no moving them. And then mutable is just a bit all over the place, a bit scatty. Because it's all over the place.
All right. I reckon I can pick out some characters already. So you're a Capricorn. That's going to be fixed, isn't it? That's got to be fixed.
Isn't it cardinal? Yeah, cardinal.
All right, okay.
Cardinal signs come at the top, bottom, left and right. If you look at the chart, it's this circle, and if you put a cross through it,
yeah,
at each of those points you've got cardinal signs. Am I right about this, Joel?
Yeah.
And then in between you've got fixed and mutable signs.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. It's really foundational, like what we're talking about is really real foundational stuff.
Well, best to start with the foundations, when you're doing a mouse.
So is Aquarius cardinal fixed or mutable?
Fixed. Yeah.
So yeah. How many years have we got of this Aquarian age?
2000.
And is Pisces mutable?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Does it say they're the ones that go in both directions?
Yeah.
And when did you say the changeover of the eons happened or happens? 2000 on the dot.
I'd say, yeah, that's mine. That's what I'm saying. But a lot of people are that, you know, a couple hundred years that way, you know, or the other. But like, it's a
you seem to get a kind of overlap, don't you?
Yeah. But it's, you know, to officially make it end of Pisces, we've got to see it from afar and go, cool, that was a crazy mess. Let's get on with things and just get some clarity from it. And it take a lot of healing. It was the toughest one, you know? It's amazing. Still intact. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of explaining to do to get away from the Maya of the Piscean era. And I think the way to get out the mire is how you observe it. It's how you see it, how you see the mire. And it is the Babylon, it's the Babel, it's like the radio. You know, I listen to the radio at work and at, like, when I'm in town or whatever and I'm exposed to it. And like Radio 1, that's real Babel. You know, I love listening to the lyrics and like philosophizing about them, but it is all I'd take to be in a really bad relationship while listening to Radio 1, because all the songs are about like really rubbish, like breakups or heartache or, you know, Rihanna just. But yeah, to get over the whole sort of hyper reality that has been sold to us by, I'm going to say it, the Catholics. I mean, the Murdoch, he's a Catholic. He's very high up in the Catholic Church. And so was Disney's nephew, who took over the company in the 60s. He was very high up in the Catholic order. And Murdoch, he owns the sun, he owns the sky, he owns, you know, the Times. We're getting news from the same old dudes, and they're the people that tell us the news are the same people that are telling us to go to Disneyland. And, you know, that's the whole Piscean delusion sort of thing, and it's just getting rid of it. And I can see, like, the truth movement, I see it as a creation of the Vatican at the end of the day, but it's to prepare us for the new aeon. Because this is how these guys work. They know of the changing of the aeons, and they're just, you know, ushering it in, like, oh, the truth movement. And I feel like it is a mystery quest, like a magic adventure mystery tour, you know, and at the end of the day, like, Scooby-Doo will take off the mask in the abandoned funfair, and, you know, the end games would be over, because, you know, for 2,000 years they've had this whole Christian thing, like,
Scooby-Doo Doomsday.
On the subject of dooby-dooby-doo, without the skill at the beginning of it, dooby-dooby-doo, I heard Osho talking about that at one time, and yeah, it's dooby-dooby-doo.
Bit like the Flintstones as well.
What's the Flintstones one? Oh, look, babe, there's a buzzard really close. Sorry.
Nature just intruded there. Joel, I understand that some astrologers will look at various institutions like governments or companies and actually do a birth chart up for those as well. Is that something that you do?
That's great you brought that up. On March the 13th, when Mars entered 1 degree Aries, and that means war, you know, that's when the Pope got picked, and that's his natal chart. You know, he's got that dynamic in his chart as Pope. And the next day, on the 14th, the new leader of China got elected, and he's also got that in his chart. Yeah, just like we'll see stuff right now, but it's what will happen in the future. Just like, you know, having Neptune in Pisces right now, we'll see a renaissance of information, but it's the children that are born right now with Pisces Neptune in their charts, and seeing what they do when they grow up. It's just like how it kind of weaves its way throughout time, sort of thing, like generation effects and stuff. I'm really excited about Neptune in Pisces. It just happened last year, and going to be in Pisces for like 14 years. Last time it was in Pisces, seances and the paranormal became a lot more popular. People as like cultural sort of like thing, and people have been a lot more open to spirituality, and they crave it. They want to know more about the mysteries. This is what's to come, because it's just entered it. Especially the children being born with Neptune and Pisces are just going to be really cosmic, trippy children. They're just going to be like little wizards.
And then we've got the transients from planets, you know, square to each other or sextile and various other aspects, haven't we, that change things a lot more quickly sometimes.
I've got loads of questions for you, Joel, but I think we've got about 4 minutes left or something like that. I won't come and ask me these questions next week. It's been really interesting. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joel.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, we could get some questions answered, sure.
Thank you for giving a shit.
Welcome. Well, you said touched on a lot of interesting points, Joel, really.
We've got another show coming up next, the Terry and Sarah show. I don't know what they're going to be talking about. It'll be good, though.
They're talking about health things today, I think, Robo.
Let's just have a look, because I've just shared it on Facebook. So let's have a look.
I'm actually here now, so I can say what it's about.
Excellent. Even better. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Well, today we're just going to be talking about, you know, the same sort of thing about what inspires people to wellness, and this question, which actually seems to be a pretty hard question for a lot of people to answer. Then we're also going to be talking about my background and how I've taken steps to take responsibility for my health and well-being, and we're also going to be covering a lot about grounding as well.
Any last words, Joel?
Thank you, everybody,